Uh-oh, the last cookie.
You can get a new box of cookies in as fast as an hour with Walmart Express delivery.
Are you my guilty self-conscious?
No, I'm the voice offering you promo code EXPRESS for free delivery on your first order.
Hey, who ate my cookies?
You mean, these cookies?
Order now. Welcome to your Walmart. Promotion valid for first express delivery order. $50 minimum subject to availability. Restrictions apply.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It gives me great, great pleasure to welcome to studio Pat and Faye Short, father and daughter, of course, continuing their Knuckle Down tour. They are back on the road. They're in Tullamore in the Esker Arts Centre tonight, then Loughrea, New Ross, Limerick, Armagh, Belfast, Dublin, all over the country it seems. But what have you got against Kilkenny, Pat?
Kilkenny won't let us in. That's the thing, you see. That's very bad. No, we did the Watergate Theatre. This is, we're kind of coming to the end of the tour.
Oh, we are at the back end of it now.
We're at that leg of it now. So it's at that stage where we've done Kilkenny. And
and once was enough.
Once was enough.
Jesus, as you left, as you disappeared in the rearview mirror.
We've done
never
all the again. That everyone keeps saying, and your new show. And we're like, it's new.
It's new if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say new and improved. It can't be both. No. It's either improved or it's new.
I'll tell you, we have it off to a fine art now.
We do that now.
So for people, though, for whom it is new, what's in store for them, Faye?
It's very funny, like, isn't it? Just take my word for it and give us the money and take the tickets.
Yeah. No, I suppose it's like the characters are... We based it loosely around the teacher character idea. That's why it's called Knuckle Down. That was his famous line, Knuckle Down, Knuckle Down. And I rewrote some of that so it's not the same as the original piece and bring Faye out onto the stage and we've been a crack at the end of it. You'll have to go and see us.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, we loosely kind of based it around education and schools and that. And that we do stand up talking about Faye growing up and she does a stand up talking about living, having to live with me, vice versa.
And our experiences through the education system in a very funny manner.
Just through going to school and all that. Not so much the education system as you being a school kid and me having to deal with it as a parent. And then Faye's character that she does, which is a wonderful character.
Yeah. The mother outside the school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The robe. We've all seen them, but that's from personal experiences and I think we've all kind of been there. But she's mad.
Yeah, so it's great. Yeah, and I suppose after you've been running for a while, like we've done the show around Ireland, sold out everywhere, and over in London. We're now taking it up the north, up to Belfast and that, which we're excited about, and over to Scotland, Edinburgh, and Glasgow, and the Olympia. Of course, we're in Three Olympia Dublin, which is unusual. We'd normally start that at the beginning of the tour, but now it's at the end of the tour. But at least the show will be it's fine tuned.
Well-oiled machine.
I mean, we're enjoying it.
Do you tweak it as you go? How different if someone went to kind of the very first show? Kind of earlier last year, or
I
whatever.
Think to be very different,
would it?
No, it does because like certain things happen as you go on tour, and with audience members, and we do interaction with the audience. We don't drag the audience up, but we interact with the audience, and that can often throw up kind of daft things that happen.
Yeah.
And you keep it.
People aren't getting kicked out of the theatre anymore.
No, we don't.
You kicked out a friend of mine, in the Watergate about 25 years ago.
Stop.
I remember that, and it was when everyone knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Someone's getting thrown out for dragging dirt in the shoe, you know. And poor old James Marr from Wetlands. Jeez, when I saw James standing up getting thrown out of the Watergate, I was delighted. I thought this was brilliant.
I had my worst experience in the Watergate, actually, with that character. Yeah, I was doing the teacher character and I'd always kind of tap someone on the shoulder and in the aisle or something. But I spotted this guy in the kind of middle row and about four rows from the front. Yeah. And he just looked like he was looking away or something. And I don't know what it was. He caught my attention. And I said to him, "Say, have you a problem with this? Right, come out here and I'll talk to you." And he didn't budge. He didn't flinch. And I said, "I'm going to give you a minute now. And if you don't come out, I'll go in there and I'll hop off you and I'll tell you, I'll drink yours with fairly lively." Still didn't flinch. I'm kind of going now, "Oh, geez, I'm starting to lose this here a little bit." And, you know, as an actor, you have to kind of keep control. You lose the audience there. I could sense a kind of a vibe in the audience that, like, "Short is not, this is not happening at all. Yeah. So I said, "Right, I'll give you one more minute now. I'll come in there and I'll yank you out." Yeah. I was prepared to go in and grab him. And next thing, his friend grabbed him. And I then realised he was blind.
Oh, he didn't know you were talking to him.
And the minute I grabbed him, his friend, and the two of them started roaring laughing because then they realised, and the audience was a sigh of relief. And then I said, "That's it, the two of you out."
Brilliant.
Ah, it was brilliant.
Oh, bless him. Well,
I'll never forget it. The life was draining out of me because I thought, this is the first time I've ever lost. And I'm going to have to go in there now. And this guy is like steel, fair play to him.
Yeah.
But the guy was, and he was creased. He had no idea I was talking about. I mean, he was creased himself and he was coming out.
Ah, oh, brilliant.
Another time I picked a guy in a different theatre. And again, do you know, it's a funny thing when you're doing comedy and the laugh is louder than the joke. And you know then, there's something more going on here than I don't.
There's an inside joke.
So I went to pick on a guy to get him out of his seat and the whole place erupted. And I thought, this is a bit bigger than the joke. Mm. So I just mentioned, "That's it, up and out." And I grabbed him. I didn't realise he was very well known in the town and he had only one leg. And his other leg he'd taken off to get comfortable in the seat.
Oh, no.
So when I lifted him out of it, he collapsed on the ground. The whole place was roared up. But he had a great sense of humour.
It's like that. Yeah. What's that Morecambe and Wise sketch? I have nothing against your right leg, but neither do you.
Yeah. Just don't touch yourself now. Leave your two legs on when you're coming to our gig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What was he like then, Faye, at home? Your dad, during the school stuff, this is the focus, you know?
Yeah,
navigating all of that politics.
Yeah, you were working a lot. Your dad was working.
Wasn't there.
Yeah. No, bringing it all. Yeah. We were feral. Yeah. No. Fair play to my mother. And dad as well, but you were working a lot for. Yeah. Two periods. One was in New York and one was in London for the same show. It was The Cripple of Inish Man. And they were both like 6 months at a time. So that's a really long period when you're doing your junior cert or whatever, which we were at the time. So yeah, one was the strict parent and then dad was, you know, junior Mr. Koo.
Yeah.
Chinese. We used to go for Chinese.
She was a pain in the hole when she was a teenager.
Right.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this is a true story. When she, talking about junior cert, you mentioned it. I was in New York for 7 months on play, 6 months on my own because she couldn't come over because she was doing the junior cert. So when they do land, I was all excited. I hadn't seen the family in 6 months and they land on a Sunday. I was doing the matinee. I got back to the apartment. We were really staying in a nice apartment just off Times Square. The producers had put us up. It was proper rock and roll stuff. And I come in the door to two teenage girls walking around with the phones out going, "Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus." I said, "Yeah, how long are we here for that?" I said, "A month." "Oh, a month, oh, Jesus, a month." And all our friends are in Kiki. I did not see that coming at all. This is the teenager. And they're stuck in New York with you and shithole.
If you're from Limerick, you'll get the rave about Kilkee. It was the place to be at that age. Yeah.
The place to be after the junior cert was not New York City.
Manhattan.
Everyone was underage, drunken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everyone was shifting fellas. It was all happening.
I didn't know any of
but
that.
But now, obviously, as a 26-year-old, you do look back and go, "Wow, that was an incredible experience that I probably didn't appreciate. So bring your kids to New York when they're older and they're in their 30s rather than when they're 12 and 13.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it. What's it like, Pat, go back on stage after John's passing?
Well, it was, look, sure, John is a huge blow to us all when John passed because he kind of came out of nowhere. He had been sick, but he died suddenly. Yeah, he was managing all. He'd had health issues, but nothing he was coping with it. You know what I mean? And he was doing quite well. And he was in great form. And himself and Margie had lots of plans to do lots of things. And then he just came out of the blue. So
it's funny, and sorry to cut across you. I don't think a lot of people in the public realise that. Because, you know, they don't... What a lot of people knew is that he had been ill.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they hear he's passed away. I think there's a kind of a sense of, oh, sure, hadn't he been sick? Oh, yeah, sure,
no,
that's
and
what
he,
happened
No,
there.
He wasn't yeah. really. And he came out of nowhere. So that's why it was a blow. And it kind of... When it happens like that, It there's moments. I was out at a funeral there recently in Brough. A friend of mine's mother passed and I went out. And it was the first time I was out in John's area since he passed. And I kind of got a bit sentimental there in that respect because, you know, it's moments like that when you see. But then at the same time, I've nothing but great memories of John and great fun memories. Yeah. Really hilarious ones, you know.
Yeah, any stories I hear or from mum or dad of their 20s, 30s, it's always involving John and Margie, which is,
The crack. The crack was great. And John, that's a great way to remember John is the crack. He was a great actor. He was a great writer, a great comic, great musician and a singer.
Yeah.
And he was really talented. And I was telling someone the other day, I was watching that John Creedon programme the other night on TV. It was a beautiful programme about Irish song and music and everything else. And they're talking about, you know, the old, Earl Leonard was talking about, you know, Irish people sing to you as opposed to say hello to you. And that was John Kenny. He was like that. He was always full of... He was like a contemporary bard or something, you know. Mm. A great entertainer, but also extremely talented on a professional level. But he had that sense of madness about him and fun. And it was always song, crack, and great company to be in, you know, aside from work, you know.
Did you feel any pressure, Faye, to being the other half of a double act with your dad, given how... Well regarded, the original double act was, as it were.
Of course. And when John was alive, he was always, Are you getting back together?
I'm in the room. Yeah. I'm right here.
And I'd be sitting there and they'd be saying, are you getting back together? It's
like, when are you getting rid of Faye and getting John back?
When are you getting rid of the boot? Get John back. It was much better.
I remember you met John in the market and John was, I remember I was there one day. John, when me and Faye were out working and we met him in Limerick Milk Market, and he was giving Faye advice on how to handle me.
He was like, if he does this, do this. And if he does this, do this. And don't mind when he does that because he doesn't actually mean it. And I was like, John, this is so invaluable, this information. And it was so lovely to he was just so kind about passing over the baton as even though he hadn't worked together in years as a duo act. But it was just so sweet to kind of get that sense of, you know,
We were writing the show at the time when the Banshees, when we were working on that. Well, I was working with John on the Banshees and in between days on set, Faye used to come up and stay with me for about a month or so.
To write, wasn't it? Yeah.
We were starting the writing process of that show we were doing at the time. It was the last show we were doing. And that was great fun because John would meet up with Faye as well and we'd go have a drink or a bit of chat about, you know, what we were doing and that. And he was great. He was great like that. Very supportive.
Very supportive.
Well, listen, we wish you the best of luck with the ongoing tour.
Yeah.
Great.
I won't say best of luck in the Gaelic grounds on Sunday. I'm utterly indifferent, which can you both lose?
It's Tipperary's year, I feel, this year.
Oh,
I'm Limerick, so
condolences to Kilkenny.
Yeah, anyway. the long wait maybe continues for Kilkenny. Pat Short, Faye Short, it is called Knuckle Down, I say, in Tullamore tonight.
Yes.
And then in Loughrea tomorrow night, and then onwards around the country.
Yeah. Yes, and the Three Olympia, I must say, on the 20th and 21st of
She's a great woman to get the plug in.
There you go.
Off the top of our head, exactly. Yeah,
I was trained well. I'm like a good dog.
No wonder you didn't get rid of back in John. He could never remember what dates you were in the Three Olympia.
Exactly. That's why I'm here.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
The kids are still at practice, and I have no idea what's for dinner.
You can get a rotisserie chicken and two sides for just $15 in as fast as an hour with Walmart Express delivery.
Who said that? Who's in my house? Don't play with me, because I'm not the one.
It's just your friendly Walmart announcer. This is a commercial.
Oh, okay. You were saying dinner for a family was just $15?
Yep. It'll be at your door by the time you get the kids home from practice. Order now. Welcome to your Walmart. Subject to availability. Restrictions and fees apply.
Now that was a helpful commercial.